Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin. We are from Third Space, and this is Turning Towards Life, and it's our 424th conversation, Lizzie, and it's really good to see you. And hello, everybody. Thank you for gathering around us and being on the inside of this. And in a moment, we're going to do just what we ordinarily do, which is, Lizzie, you have this week brought a source, a piece of writing that is going to be like the fountainhead or the spring from which this conversation flows. And we'll read it together, and then we will allow ourselves to unfold into an unhurried and unscripted exploratory discovery, being in relationship kind of conversation like we have done so many times before. And we know that so many people will be around us doing the same. And we want to say before we begin that if you want to find this source that we're going to read, you can find it in the show notes. You could head over to turningtowards.life and find it there. You could sign up for our weekly email and get it in your inbox. And if you go over there, you can find all kinds of ways of supporting this project, of joining us live in the program we are beginning our second season of in the new year. And you can click on a link to find out about Third Space, where all of this comes from. And because this is November and in February, we are running our next two-day introduction to the very marvelous, deep, rich, resonant kind of coaching that we teach. We encourage you to go and have a look over there, look for the Foundations of Coaching program as well, because it would be lovely to meet some of you there too. And I think that's enough preamble, Lizzie. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Justin, for the preamble. It's quite excellent that we have a little preamble and then we get going. I'm just having that thought, Justin. I'm so glad we only have preamble. Sometimes I listen to podcasts and there's so much stuff that I want to go, just get past that bit of the advertising and the saying things about other people and just get into it. So anyway, I'm glad we don't have that. And here we have a really wonderful source by Hannah Rosenberg, who is a poet who is new to me. I think she has a book out actually at the moment. And I can't remember the name of it, but she's got a new book. Check her out, Hannah Rosenberg. I got introduced to her through my very well-curated Instagram algorithm. And she writes extraordinarily lovely poems that have me feel welcome and seen and wondering and opened out. So I thought I would bring this one today. And if you want to find her on Instagram, her kind of handle is Hannah Rowe Writes. So Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, and then R-O, and then Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, Hannah Rowe Writes. And this little piece of writing is called Until I Thought of Myself as the Sea. So I'm going to read, and then Justin, you'll read, and we'll see where this takes us. I love the fact that you brought the water metaphor at the beginning, because of course this is about the sea and the ocean. So until I thought of myself as the sea by Hannah Rosenberg. I used to separate good days from bad until I thought of myself as an ocean. I used to split times I felt strong from when I felt weak until I imagined myself as the sea. Calm and rocky, wild and soft, still and powerful and vast and more than any one thing. In the ocean, it's hard to divorce one mood from another, one wave from the next. Now, on my worst days, I think of how good life is too, how I can still greet joy while swimming through grief, how fragile strength feels, how I'm not any one thing in any one moment on any one day. I'm all of it, and all of it is me.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you to Hannah. What a gift, Hannah, to have you writing this way. We are very glad to receive it. So this is by Hannah Rosenberg, Until I Thought of Myself as the Sea. I used to separate good days from bad until I thought of myself as an ocean. I used to split times I felt strong from when I felt weak until I imagined myself as the sea, calm and rocky, wild and soft, still and powerful and vast, and more than any one thing. In the ocean, it's hard to divorce one mood from another, one wave from the next. Now, on my worst days, I think of how good life is too, how I can still greet joy while swimming through grief, how fragile strength feels, how I'm not any one thing in any one moment on any one day. I'm all of it, and all of it is me.
Thank you, Justin. It's so lovely always to feel the feelings of being read to and letting myself float in the what arises in me as you read. It's a real treat. And this time I felt how familiar it feels to me to feel like the sea. You know, to feel like there's many, many things happening in any moment, and indeed any one day or any one week, that I don't feel like I'm one thing ever, really. And maybe when I'm really upset about something or really triggered and I get really narrow, maybe those times I could experience myself as one thing. But then even then, I know that there's something much bigger holding me than just the experience I'm having of being cross about something or being in pain or whatever. So I'm feeling the kind of the magic of when some kind of metaphor gets brought to me, in this case, the ocean, the sea, and all of my imagination, but not only my imagination, my body spreads into it and finds itself inside of it. And all these distinctions, all these things about it start arising in me in a bodily felt sense as well. So where there was tension, there's now space, like oceanicness in my bodily felt sense. And just because of you reading to me, like, how great is that? Like, you just read something to me, nothing massive happened. And I had a response in myself that brought me deeper in my kind of bodily presence and more expanded, more relaxed, and more able to see that my existence is much bigger than I thought it was a few moments ago. The shape I take is different than I just thought a moment ago. So I'm appreciating that that's the kind of beings that we are, where we can be offered some picture, some sense of something, and then our system finds itself in it. I love that. And I love feeling myself as the calmness and the rockiness and the softness and the waves and the everything. And it feels like a metaphor for self-welcoming, a metaphor for welcoming my life, for lessening the hold I have on my preferences and more being with things as they are and as they come. So when I think of waves in the ocean, I can't really maybe see what's coming, but when it comes, it's to be accepted, to be welcomed. And suddenly everything gets quite interesting when I think of my life like that. Like, I'm suddenly interested in my life inside this metaphor, rather than trying to stave something off or making sure this happens. I'm seeing that something quite different is possible than me trying to have it a certain way, but that I have capacity to roll with the way that the ocean's rolling today.
One of the things I'm already loving about this conversation, Lizzie, and really appreciating, is how in talking to one another, we change one another. So I already had all kinds of things, and maybe I'll get to say them to you about this poem, but I got changed when you pointed out the power of having a really powerful metaphor through which to understand ourselves. And now I'm wanting to just take that up for a little bit and to explore it. So I could feel it too. I've been in a period of many strong feelings about many things, and I notice how attached I can get to particular ones. Oh, I'm feeling this way now, this must mean all about me, because I'm feeling sad or anxious or angry or whatever. And what this, one of the many things that this writing does, and then being in conversation with you about it, is it provides a bigger context for all of that. So I feel invited by it to go from, oh, I'm not just my fear or my upset. I'm not even just my love or my, I am that in which all of this arises. And that shift to understand myself, which I felt very invited to by hearing you read, it's a shift in context. It's a shift in, I can feel it happening as we're speaking, which is what's so marvelous. In the context of a different understanding, a different story about who and what I am and we are, of course, it can't just be about me. It's about you and it's about everyone. And there's lots to say about that too. Each individual feeling or each individual thought has a whole different context. It's located in some, and so it means something different in that context. And already I can feel that my capacity to be present to and to be play my part in the whole of something rather than the particular thing that happens to have grabbed me right now is widened. And it is extraordinary that we, like you just said, that we humans have this capacity. We're not just, I remember years ago being shown a picture of human communication, which I thought was wrong at the time, but couldn't quite well. And it's got your brain and my brain. And then it's got Lizzie speaks words and they travel across space and they go in my ears. And then those words arrive in my brain. And if our communication is right, the words in your brain and the words in my brain are the same. And but that's not how it works, because when you speak from this vast context. And when I hear from this vast context. And we can shift our context. By taking myself to be an ocean, all of a sudden what I say and feel and think and what I hear from you lands in me in a different way. Because we're not mechanical. There is no one meaning of any most words. They land in a whole web of understanding of ourselves, and it can change because we choose to begin to hold ourselves in the midst of another story than the one that we've held ourselves. And that's literally happening whilst we're talking. I can feel my heart way bigger and way softer. I can feel that none of the feelings I had have gone away. And I feel already more, I don't know if the right word this year is hopeful, maybe it is, the sense, oh, there's something of me that's so big it can hold and be true to all of these different feelings. I don't have to banish them or ignore them, but equally, I don't have to only know myself as them. I've been remembered of what there is behind and beneath everything. And that language can, and conversation can be the invitation into that possibility. Marvelous. And I'm already thinking, okay, so how am I? I've got off quite a full on 3 days. What would it be to live my next 3 days with this, well, the rest of my life, but the next 3 days with this sense? How would I keep in contact with it? What would it mean to stay true to it and with this kind of openness that comes?
Yeah, I'm in that same wondering, Justin, of what is it to arrive as this context into difficult conversations or challenging work things or family shenanigans or whatever? And feeling this possibility here with you has such value because it shows what is possible. So in my body, I have a sense by being here with you now of what this kind of context feels like, what this kind of spaciousness feels like, and how if I'm the ocean and you're part of the ocean, it also kind of right sizes what comes my way. And so I'm feeling the experiment coming on of, I wonder what size things are going to be today if I walk around as this kind of context, what that's going to feel like, what it's going to make possible, what kind of things I might be able to hear that I haven't heard before. Because I think the thing about the context adjusting is that, and you know, we've talked so many times, I think, Justin, now about whoever the listener is really shapes what can be listened to and what can be said. And I'm feeling me as the ocean is going to hear very different things than me as the, I don't know, the impoverished orphan, which maybe I sometimes show up as in certain places, where I feel less than, and I feel filled with lack, and I feel worried, and I feel concerned. That's a very different way of coming at something, a very particular way of listening from, that is very much kind of undone by coming as the ocean. And you know, we were talking about, we are the kind of beings for whom metaphors are places we can find ourselves, and big things come out of them. Different action can come out of them, different thoughts, wanderings, relationships. I'm also feeling that we are beings that can intend and can learn and can experiment. So the next part for me is, okay, so there's this ocean. How am I going to take myself as the ocean into this? How am I going to cultivate the ocean when I walk over this threshold and see what it means to embody that, to inhabit that, to practice that as best I can in wherever I find myself today, tomorrow, the next day. And really feeling how supportive actually this narrative is, the story of being the ocean, to the truth being told, the truth unfolding. Because there's all kinds of ways that as I turn up to something, I'm kind of trying to shape the truth, like of what gets said or what's allowed here or what's permitted or what's pushed to the side or never allowed to be in the space or whatever. So I'm realizing that as I turn up as the ocean, I'm much more likely to receive what's actually here rather than my version of it, my small version of it from whatever small story I'm telling about myself and everybody else. So I'm feeling very kind of opened out by the connection of oceanicness and truth. And as we know, truth can be multiples of multiple layers of things. But when it all gets revealed, people's truths get revealed, life gets revealed. It's better to have a full picture than a partial picture. And somehow, and then learn to take action from fullness rather than take action from partialness. So I'm feeling the invitation that the ocean is to the fullness of kind of revelation of things being revealed to me, so that then I can actually go, okay, that's what is. But until I am open to what is, I'm never going to know what is really. So I'm feeling very kind of intrigued by where this is come to in this moment in me, and very grateful for this capacity for metaphor and capacity for practice and intention, and wondering what could be made possible by cultivating and embodying this oceanicness in us.
There's a line in Hannah's writing, it's actually the last line, which I, as you've been speaking, been finding so intriguing and so powerful. So the line is, I'm all of it, and all of it is me. Now, there's one way of understanding this, which I think is already very powerful, which is, well, if I'm the ocean, then of course I can have all of this arising in me. I can have rocky, wild, soft, still powerful grief, hope, joy, love, anguish, and I can be all of it. And I think that is a big perceptual shift from just knowing myself as I'm angry and scared and I've got to convince you of whatever is true for me, Lizzie. That moves, so to include it. But as you've been talking, it started to occur to me that in a deeper way, if I'm talking with you and imagine that we have some kind of very different way of seeing things, we have some kind of disagreement between us, and I'm feeling anxious and worried about that and desperately want to show you how I see it, and you want to do the same with me. So it's helpful for me to go, oh, okay, I contain, I'm going to quote Walt Whitman here, I contain multitudes. That's really helpful to go, okay, everything I'm feeling now sits alongside all the other things I feel. My love for you, my wish that you be okay. And so that's a really good move. And then I think where Hannah's language points to is, well, if there's truth that I'm the ocean, then I cannot also escape the possibility that you are the ocean too. And beyond that, that we are the ocean. And that what's arising is not just what's arising in you, and what's arising between us is not a separate something. You're not a separate something over there. You're also right here in me as I'm right there in you. And we are both expressions of something that itself includes us and is much bigger than us. And so everything that's arising is me, and everything that's arising is you. So I'm just sort of taking Hannah's invitation to widen the boundaries even further, because there might be a way in which at least I probably can't hold on to this all of the time. But to imagine that I'm no longer this body that I experience as me is no longer at the center of everything. That's the way we tend to experience things. I'm in the middle, and you're over there, and things are happening to me or not to me. But if I can decenter enough that I can see that there's a something happening here that I call me, and there's a something happening there that you call you, and we are together the ocean, it might be that at least for a while I have to hold on way less tightly. I can allow lots and lots of things to be happening in all of these places and know myself and you as expressions of the one thing that holds it all. That widens it. I mean, it takes the boundaries of this much further out than a first reading might suggest. But I got to it by thinking about what you were saying about truth, Lizzie, is that when we see that only occasionally is there only one way of talking about something, and that you could find truth in lots of different perspectives, it's very easy to go, well, nothing can be true anymore. Or it's also very easy to go, well, this is my truth, as if it being my truth makes it the only truth. And somehow it helps us to find a way not to give up on the idea of truth, but also not to give up on the idea that there's this multiplicity. So how do we hold? How do we be big enough? And that doesn't, in saying all of this about we are all of it and all of it is us, I'm not saying that that's an easy shift to make. It seems like a stretch to make it. But I do feel invited that way to wonder about it.
Yeah, you're making me think of like systems. And somehow, you know, when you were saying about it's happening to me or I'm doing something, there's like a way that we feel like it's one of the big stories of being human is that we're separate from each other, that we're individuals. And maybe that's much less true than we understand. And in this moment, I'm getting a kind of sense of, if we could experience the world as, I'm not saying non-separate, as in, maybe it's true that everything is one on some level. That could also be true. But wherever we are, like whatever small system we find ourselves in, to treat the system as a self is quite different than treating me, you, like that we all have separate stories or something. That there's something happening in the system between you and me, for example. There's me and there's you, but then there's something happening between us. And all of those things are the system, which is you and me. And then you multiply that out and there's more people and more people and more people. And there's a way of relating to the world where we can have our arms around, our kind of consciousness around, more than just our own version of what's true. Which is kind of why it's interesting to know what other people's truths are, really, really. So that then we all know what the system is actually made of. And I'm thinking of all the things, Justin, that seem hidden to me. Sometimes there's so much that feels hidden that we're afraid of bringing forth, or that we're, because we're not oceanic with one another, because we're much smaller with one another than an ocean, there's kind of implicit in that is you can bring this, but you can't bring that. You can say this, you can feel this, you can't feel that. And so, and that also goes for a system. Like we all start thinking the same thing somehow, like in a family, when someone comes in who doesn't know the rules and you're going, oh, I can't believe we just said that. And actually it's quite revealing, because then you go, oh, I see, we really all can't, do we don't feel like we can be like that or we can say that. And actually, how excellent to know that about a system, that there are implicit rules, implicit expectations that we're all making all the time. And that we might be someone who stands inside a system and says, no, actually, tell me more. Rather than complying with the whole system, that thing's not allowed and nobody's allowed to say that. So I'm really taken by this idea of turning towards what is happening as a way that the system is speaking. And it might be coming through an individual. But what is this whole thing trying to say, of which, like you're saying, we are all a part and it is us. So there's a voice coming through a particular human being, and it feels like one that we don't want to turn towards, but actually, what if we did? And if we were oceanic, we could, and it wouldn't hurt us. We could just say, oh, that's interesting. Tell me some more about that. So I'm feeling really compelled by this kind of undefendedness that feels like it's inside the ocean metaphor, where the ocean says hello to whatever plops itself in it. When we go swimming, it doesn't say, no, not you. You can't come in the ocean. It says, oh, there's this person in the ocean, there's this. And then it says hello and makes way, makes room. And then we can leave it again. So I'm feeling the tentacles of this story, that I could be reaching really far and feeling very invited into openness, undefendedness, curiosity, welcome.
Your way of talking has really helped me think about this again in a new way. So I can go, taking inspiration from Hannah's writing, I can go from knowing myself just as my fear or my anguish or my desperation or whatever. Then I could extend my sense to go, well, I'm all of it and all of it is me. I am the ocean. And already some kind of freedom comes from that. There's a sort of relief and then a bigger set of possibilities. Then, so just thinking about what you said about systems, then when I'm with you, Lizzie, I can imagine you're the ocean and I'm the ocean, but I can also say, what's this system that we are doing it now? You and I are making a little system here, and I could extend the boundaries of the ocean. I could say, well, what if we're the ocean together? How would we want to take care of what happens here in this ocean? What would we allow and not allow in this ocean, that the shores of which go just behind your back and behind my back and include us? And then if we're in a bigger context, we could widen our sense, if we wished, to say, well, this is an ocean in and of itself. And of course, you could extend then that understanding to a community, a country, a people, the world, the universe. And depending upon where you choose to understand the boundaries of this ocean, will draw our attention to what there is to attend to. And sometimes the scale that we ought to be talking is the world. If the world is this, everybody in it is this, how would we attend? What would we stay with? What would we say and listen to? But sometimes we need to bring this in. Sometimes, Lizzie, this is just about you and me. But the possibility that this allows us, and I'll just read Hannah's words, that when I'm with you and we're in, that you and I are in difficulty, for example, I want to pick on difficulty because that's the place, or desperation, like it's like bursting love or something, or it's something uncontainable. But if we go, I used to split times I felt strong from when I felt weak, until I imagined this as the sea, calm and rocky, wild and soft, still and powerful and vast and more than any one thing. I can still greet joy while swimming through grief. I'm not any one thing in any one moment. I'm all of it, and all of it is us. We've got lots of choice with this metaphor about where we put the boundary of what we are, and that affords vastly different possibilities in each case. So this metaphor we've been invited for goes so far.
I just want to thank you, Justin, for being in this with me and letting our systems be receptive like this. It's quite wonderful. And I want to thank Hannah for writing what she writes and for all the life that's happened to Hannah that has her right. You know, it's like this beautiful creativity is born out of all kinds of probably difficulties and joys and happenings and events and relationships and history and everything. So I'm appreciating all of the creativity that comes out of us living, really living. And I'm grateful to us, Justin, for doing this, and grateful to be coming back next week with another source and carrying on the conversation together.
Yeah. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. See you soon.